Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're getting me football horny, as Clint would say.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is, and it's a football Friday, a playoff football Friday. Texans, Chiefs, tomorrow, baby. We got one more sleep before the action happens. Come on out. We are in Sugar Land today. At Little Woodrow's, and if you hadn't been to a Little Woodrow's lately, things have changed a bit. It's a slightly bigger place, and they've got a turf area outside, and there's not a bad seat in the place, which I like. If you're a listener, you know this. I like the low light, the lounge vibe that they got going on in here. TVs everywhere. Good little crowd. Come on through. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're giving away four $50 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. We've already given away two of them, so you missed your chance. But you got 2 hours to slide by here before the other two are gone. Well, actually, we're going to give them away in the next 2 hours, so you need to slide your ass on
there
by
right
now and get in the raffle. We also have a Daniil Hunter signed game football, real leather, real game football, and an official size helmet signed by Tank Dell that we're giving away as well. So four nice little raffle items. Come on through. This Little Woodrow's does have a kitchen. I've had a smash burger, absolutely tremendous. And I'll let you know, the carrots and the celery are nice and crisp. Good size.
They were.
And crisp. I've always told you guys, when the carrots and the celery's right, the kitchen is usually on point. I'm telling you it is. Come on through. The drinks are what Little Woodrow's has always brought to the table, baby. The drinks are on point as well. I'm waiting one of them tequila soda, two limes, as
buttery
we speak,
nipple.
Ron. Nah, not one of them buttery nipples. It ain't one of them buttery nipple kind of evening.
What you get?
I got a Casamigos Reposado, splash of soda, two limes.
That's
baby.
Your lane. That's
come on, man.
I might try that.
I try to stay in it, T.
I love it.
Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for making this happen. And the Texans, obviously, getting that good autographed merch that we're giving away. So if you're in the house and you hadn't put your name in the raffle box over here, you might want to do it. I've got questions, Ron, real quick before I get to these things that the Texans have to do defensively. We know the defense has been great, with the exception of a couple of games. Minnesota, Baltimore, the defense has been great. One of the best defenses in the league. And this week, that defense is going to have to show up and show out in a big way. And I've got four things that have to come to fruition that are likely. Well, I don't know if likely is the right answer given the opponent. But through the season, they've been one of the better defenses in the league in these particular categories. And I think that the more that this defense can hit on Sunday or Saturday, the better the chances are of winning. But I got questions. I need somebody on the text line, 713-572-4610. I came through Stafford. I went through downtown Stafford. I got kind of off the beaten path,
there,
man.
There you go.
I saw the old downtown Stafford, and I'm checking out the city. And I got to know what the hell that big glass castle is. Big castle with a bunch of glass in it that's right next to a golf course. There's a golf course on the corner that I came up to. I don't remember the name of the golf course.
I'm not familiar.
But it's between Stafford and Sugar Land, and it is an unbelievable-looking building. Absolutely. Yeah. It's got to be some kind of huge church, old-school church of some sort.
Texas, Larry.
It is beautiful. I don't know what the hell it is. If a human being owns that, it's got to be Tillman or one of them cats. They got to have some bread. It's a cool looking building. But I've been thinking about that since I passed it. What the hell is that? 713-572-4610. If you've seen it, don't rack your brain, because if you don't know immediately what the hell I'm talking about, then you ain't seen it and you don't know what I'm talking about. It is unbelievable. All right, the Texans and the Chiefs Saturday. We got a 3:30 kickoff again, don't we?
That's right.
A little 3:30 kick. You know, the Texans defense has been really good. As Ron said, maybe we haven't given it the attention that we needed to throughout the week, but damn it, we're giving it to them today. There's a handful of stats that the Texans have compiled that's allowed them to be one of the top defenses in the league this year. And I think there's several of them, obviously, but I got four of them, Ron, that they don't all four have to come to fruition this week against the Chiefs.
Okay.
But we're going to need a couple of them. We're going to need a couple of them. And we'll start with the obvious one, the turnover rate, right? The Texans are one of the top defenses in the league with a plus 10 turnover rate. And that's with C.J. Stroud not having a great season, or at least not having as good a season as he had last year in the turnover category. I think the Texans this week have to find a way to turn over Pat Mahomes. We've seen games where, one, they've been able to turn over the better opponents, the better quarterbacks that they've played. They've been able to turn those guys over for the most part. And in those moments, it gives the Texans a chance to compete with the better teams in this league. So I don't know how good you feel about the chances of them turning them over, but I do think that's going to be a critical. I don't know that the Texans can win this game without turning Pat Mahomes and company over a couple times.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'll give you some numbers. In the first, what is this, one, two, three, four, first four games, Mahomes had – or had a what? One, three, four, five. He had eight interceptions in the first six games.
Yep.
He had eight interceptions in the first six games. So he was turning it over. And I'll be honest, watching all of them, this was not, Clint, one of those situations where, like last year, he threw about two or three touchdowns or interceptions that bounced off Kadarius Toney's hands into somebody's hands. Or, you know, like what happened with Will Disley last week with Justin Herbert and Stingley's pick.
These were real interceptions.
These were real just bad decisions that Mahomes has made. So he had thrown eight interceptions in the first six games. He and the Chiefs are now currently on a NFL record. Seven games.
Yep.
Seven straight games they have not turned it over. They have not had a turnover. Even with a lot of the pressure issues that they have had, they have not had a turnover in seven games. Yep. So, yeah, that is – he has done it. He's cleaned it up here in the second half of the season. So, based off what the teams have done, something's got to give, right?
Yeah, look, Andy and Pat versus D'Amico and the turnover is the focal point here. I think that just has to happen to some degree. Whether it's fumbles, sack fumbles, or interceptions, tip balls that are intercepted, either way it goes, that plus 10 turnover ratio has to show up and be something that the commentators are talking about. Now, number two, the pressure rate – that the Texans have been able to apply to offenses this year. They're top three in sack percent. They're the third highest pressure rate at 38%. And Anderson and Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are the only duo with double-digit sacks, Ron. 10.5 sacks for Anderson and 12 sacks for Hunter. Those two combined, which, by the way, this is by far number one in terms of duos creating pressure. 136 pressures between Will Hunter Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. 136 pressures applied this year. That's by far number one.
Yep.
Even if they don't get to, I know we talked about getting one sack on Pat earlier in the year. I mean, on the game a couple of weeks ago. Even if they don't necessarily sack him, Ron, if he's not feeling the pressure early and often, the Texans are going to have a problem for two reasons. One, it's Pat Mahomes, and he needs to feel you if you have any chance. And number two, because that's the identity. That's the bloodline of the Texans. That's the way they survive. That's the way they succeed. That's the way they dominate, is applying pressure. So that pressure rate, being tops in the league, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter being tops, literal tops in the league in terms of applying pressure, that's got to be obvious once again Saturday for these guys to have a shot.
Yeah, and I think also why it's so important is if he has time and he's able to manufacture time, like I think you feel pretty good. Obviously, you feel great about Stingley in a matchup there. I think you feel you have some confidence with Kamari Lassiter, who he's matched up with, you know, Hollywood Brown or, you know, Hopkins or Xavier Worthy. But then the other guys, I don't know if you have as much confidence. The other guys that could be in coverage, whoever that is that may be on Kelsey, whoever that is that may be on one of those other receivers that's not covered, whoever Miles, was it Miles?
Bryant.
Miles Bryant, who it seems like that's who they're running as the third guy out there. You know, you don't want to give it time
to exploit some of those matchups.
Well, when you look at the Texans defense, Ryan, when you talk about wide receiver crews, or let's say call pass catchers, including tight ends and backs, with the Texans are number one, and it's, I can't remember the year, but I think it's like 2015 maybe. The rate at which teams are wide receivers are getting separation from and catches, obviously, is as good as any defense since 2015. So not only are they able to pressure, not only are they able to turn the football over, but that sticky stuff, that sticky coverage that D'Amico's constantly talking about is a real thing, right? And so we move from the turnover rate, which obviously I think is the result of all of what I'm talking about now, to the pressure rate with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, to immediately to the completion percentage allowed. Ron, I think this is, at one point it was sub 50% on the season for the Texans. Now, right now it's at 58%. Completion overall, they're allowing under 60% completion, and when they're pressuring, they're only allowing 39% completion. So again, how important is it that the Texans pressure? Well, when they pressure, that the quarter, look, when they dial up a pressure, right, all pressures, 39% is the number that the quarterbacks are completing balls at. So again, they got to continue to, again, it's their lifeline, it's how they win games. They've got to dial that up. So the completion percentage, I think the completion percentage, Ron, between me, being honest with you, I think the Texans having allowing the lowest completion percentage all week long is probably my favorite stat of the greats that this defense has been able to do. It's wild. At one point, it was sub 50.
Especially at NRG, it's really been crazy. Yeah. Like, I mean, when you see
what, yeah, it's up over 60% on the road.
Yeah, when you see what they have done to, like, the Josh Allen game, we remember 9 for 30. They did a number on Jared Goff. They did a number they did a number on Justin Herbert last week. Somebody else. I don't want to count Anthony Richardson, because I think Anthony may be able to do that in a room by himself. but I mean, they have just handcuffed guys, you know, and that would be a big deal for them to try to do something like that again to Mahomes.
Yeah, that's The overall completion percentage allowed is best in the league, and then when they're pressuring, it just skyrockets. We'll see if they can do that to the best team, the best offense, the best quarterback and play caller that the league has to offer. All right, third down defense is number four for me, Ron. 35% third down conversion allowed with this defense. That's a really, really good number. They haven't been as good in the red zone. I specifically picked the third down defense because I think that's where they can make their hay. I tried to highlight things here that not only have the Texans done well, but it's where they're going to have to win, and we've seen them win in the past in these categories. And so third down defense allowing 35% third down conversion, that's pretty solid right there. So when you look at, put a bow on this thing, turnover rate plus 10 turnover rate, that's got to show up at some point in time in this game. The pressure rate, again, with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, not only sacks, but applying 136 pressures this season is by far number one in the league for a duo. The completion percentage being sub 60, generally speaking, and sub 40% when they pressure. And then that third down defense, I mean, two or three of those, Ron, have to come to fruition for this Texans defense to really be a factor against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just, look, I think they got a shot. I think there's a really good chance. I would bet that some of this is going to come to fruition. And I think that's got to happen for this defense to lead the way, in which I think that's the only path to winning here is if that defense leads the way.
And, Clint, this is another one of those things, very much like the turnover situation, where both teams are really, really good in this category. The Chiefs going into the last game of the season against Denver, you know, the game that they put in their backups and third strings, they were completing nearly 50% of their third down conversions, and at 49%+, nearly 50%. So that's like a big difference, I think, between this team and some other offenses that have had struggles. Is they do the work, and that's why I think first and second down obviously is very important. They're not in third and 8 and 10 a lot.
Yeah, they're not in third and long.
Right? I think that's probably the biggest difference between the Texans offense and the Chiefs offense is – The Chiefs are in 3rd and 3 to 6.
Yeah.
3rd and 2 to 5.
Well, that's why, look, I think the matchup in this game is the number one matchup. We can talk about players, but I think the number one matchup in this game is Andy Reid, D'Amico Ryans. Look, we can talk about Bobby. We can talk about Spags. We can talk about all this and all that. But at the end of the day, this thing's about D'Amico Ryans and Andy Reid. And you got one defense that is just lights out in a handful of categories, and you got an offense that in Kansas City that's really good at avoiding those scenarios, those situations, and combating all the pressures. Who gives, right? It's going to be a give and take. Who gives the most and who ends up giving their team the best chance to win? I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. We are in Sugarland at Little Woodrow's. T. Mills back in the studio behind the glass. Ron, I want to give a quick shout out, man.
Go ahead.
I want to give a quick shout out. Yesterday, we were out in Katy, Park Row, Buffalo Wild Wings, and we had a couple of listeners out there. A few listeners had a nice little party going. And I met one of our guys, man, Johnny Howard.
Oh, God, our guy from St. Louis,
St.
Right?
Louis. St. Yeah. Louis. Big listener. Johnny, if you're listening, man, appreciate you listening. But I know it's his daughter. His daughter had a rough afternoon yesterday, had a surgery, and one of those life-altering type deals. She's going to be okay. But one of
rough on him as well.
Yeah, yep. Rough on him as well. And I want Johnny to know we're thinking about you, man. Appreciate you listening, and hope everything's going all right with your family and with your daughter and her surgery.
Yeah. I talked to him, too. He's telling the wife about that yesterday, that, hey, man, it was great kind words. Glad that we could help. Maybe make some things feel better, as you told us yesterday. But yeah, still keeping you in our prayers, man. And everybody, anybody going through things, still keeping you in our prayers. So hopefully today's a better day. If it is. All right. Coming up as we continue, we will be hooking somebody up with a Danielle Hunter football in this hour. And we've got a $50 gift card to hook somebody up in this hour, 5 o'clock hour. There is a signed Tank Dell game size helmet you can win as well. All of that as we continue live right here on The Drive. Before we get there, coming up, a little national championship talk, Clint. We have I would imagine coming in on Monday, one way or another, it's going to be kind of a hard thing to preview that game as much. I do want to get a little early conversation about the national championship game coming up on Monday. That's next.
Notre Dame. Supposed to be a rep for university, right?
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There we go. As we're having a good time, baby. Hey, you come in Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland. Our quarterback, Clint Stoner, might hit you on a little stop route as he just got my man right here. He caught that ball and tucked it in. I liked what I saw. So make it. Well, hold on now. Hold on. Calm down. Make it. Uh-oh. He went deep. Oh, and he went out.
That one came off at the end right, too.
That was it right there, baby. That was it. That was it.
You missed me high. That's a big TV you're going to hit now.
Yeah, that's big TV. You might want to walk that one up.
I'm in my chair. I can't get up now.
Let's walk that one up. Yeah, let's walk that one up. Let's not get the TV. But no, man, we're having a good time. We're having a good time out here enjoying ourselves. Hey, nice throw. He ain't scared. He said, I go for it on fourth down. But we're having a good time here. Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland. Make your way out as we still have prizes to hook someone up with. We still have an autographed helmet, game-size helmet from Tank Dell. And we still have gift cards, $50 to Academy Sports to give away here. Today here, Little Woodrow's here in Sugarland. All right, Clint, we got the national championship game coming up on Monday. And obviously, whatever happens on Saturday, we'll be discussing a lot of that on Monday. So I did want to get a quick little preview coming up between Notre Dame and Ohio State. And I feel like I at least share now, and Tyler does too, and many others now that Texas is out of the fold. I think I share with most, can we get a good game? Can we get a good competitive game? Because, Clint, I am a bit nervous that this is a game that may not be compelling. That this is a game in which Ohio State can run Notre Dame out of the building. And I'm sorry, Sean. I just listen, I hope it doesn't happen.
I just hope that Monday night we can watch a really, really good game like we've seen the last, like at least the last two games, right? Texas, Ohio State. That was entertaining. It was a lot closer than the final score. And then obviously that Notre Dame-Penn State was a really fun game to watch. You think we get a good game, a good competitive game on Monday night?
I do. I think we get a good competitive game. Look, I've been wrong about Notre Dame, you know, throughout. I knew they had a good defense that could keep up, but I went from being a huge Riley Leonard fan at Duke to watching him play at Notre Dame and just being underwhelmed, man. He just leaves a lot to be desired. But there's something to, you know, that clutch gene of, hey, you need three, he goes and gets four. It's not the prettiest thing, but there's something about that. And so there's no denying that he brings that to the table. Now, unfortunately, for the Fighting Sean Pendergast, I don't think Notre Dame and that Riley Leonard, Johnny Hustle approach is going to be enough.
Come on, Sean.
Again, I don't think they have the weapons to keep up with Ohio State. And I think it pains me to say, because I'm not an Ohio State fan at all, but this Ohio State team here appears to be the real deal. I don't see Notre Dame executing a game plan that's going to take four out of the game the way that Texas was able to do.
You think Notre Dame, which their defense has been really, really good all year,
yeah.
You think they're good enough to at least hold down – No, Ohio State to keep the game close.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be a close game. I think Riley Leonard, once again, will exceed my expectations.
They got to muck it up.
They'll definitely muck it up for a while. And I do think Riley Leonard will have the ability to make some plays. There's something about, like, you know, just they are clearly, when it comes to offensive line play, when it comes to scheming up runs and adjusting their run game, They are absolutely elite. And I think they'll continue to do those things and do them well. I just think ultimately Ohio State's going to be able to separate. Will Howard is playing lights out. I think he's the better quarterback once again. When you look at just sheer weapons, I don't know that Notre Dame puts a wide receiver on the field that would crack the top three at Ohio State, if we're being honest. And so I don't know that Notre Dame has the weapons to keep up with Ohio State in four quarters. But look, they're going to muck it up. They're going to make it ugly. Riley Leonard's going to go out there and Johnny Hustle his way to a high, you know, third down conversion and probably some points. But I think Ohio State separates in this game late.
You know what it reminds me of a bit, in a poor man's version, because I think both of the teams are not as good as these two teams. But it kind of reminds me at a lower scale. Many of you out there maybe remember this. Some of you may be too young. It was one of the worst injuries I've ever seen in my life. But Ohio State versus Miami in 2003. Miami was, they were clearly the team you looked at was like, they got more potential pros. They're the better team. Andre Johnson's on that team. Clinton, I don't know if that's Clint Portis, but Willis McGahee damn sure is on that team because he tore his whole knee up. And then Ohio State, and they just somehow kept that game, stayed in that game, made it nasty, made it ugly with defense. I can't remember the corner. They had Gamble was a corner on that team. They had a really good linebacker. Can Notre Dame kind of play the Ohio State role to Miami? Because you look at this, you could see, we've watched Ohio State 21-0 in the first quarter on Tennessee. Ohio State absolutely was destroying Oregon to start that game. To me, that's what it looks like. Can they slow down Ohio State enough in this game? That's the one that's interesting to me. Can it be like that type game?
Yeah, that's 22 years ago, Chief. I don't know if I got that one in.
Oh, you don't remember that one?
I know that's
a bold-faced lie.
Well, that's the Miami team that had they actually three deep at that running back position. That was what's the old boy that played 42 years in the
Frank
league?
Frank Gore's on that team.
Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee.
They had that criminal.
Was it those three guys?
Yeah, they had that criminal at tight end, Kellen Winslow.
Yeah.
I don't remember them having Aaron Hernandez
on that D line, I believe, wasn't he?
Who?
Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, that game had a real feel going into it. Like, yeah, Ohio State, they're in the Big Ten. They're not going to really be able to keep up with these guys. And they found a way to make the game ugly in this thing. Champ Slice comes in. Who do you think is the better coach team, Freeman or Day? I don't know who's the better coach team. I'll let Clint answer that. I do think that Ryan Day, Tyler, has been thinking about
the press conference when they come together, mm-hmm. and how good he can look up against Marcus Freeman in that press conference. I think he has thought about the suit he's going to wear.
He's got to really get that beard dye going.
I think he has thought about, God, dog, I got to stand up here next to this Adonis right here. How am I going to come together and put this thing together?
I bet back in the day he was a go-getter, wasn't he? I'll answer that question. I think Notre Dame's a better coached football team. I don't think they got the dudes, and I think Will Howard is better at the quarterback position. I think Notre Dame's a better coached football team.
Yeah. All right. Somebody texted in and said the national championship was Ohio State versus Texas. Notre Dame will lose by 20 or 30. Someone also texted in, Notre Dame is stronger than last year's Michigan team. I think they will win the game. All right, coming up, we got a couple of conversations. I want to get a conversation with Clint, Tyler, and the people about what's the number one thing that gives you confidence in this game for the Texans? What's the number one thing that concerns you about the game? And I want to get your thoughts about one of the other top things being talked about, and that is the rest and rust factor for the Chiefs being off for 24 days. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Little Woodrow's in Sugarland. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here at Little Woodrow's in Sugarland. We'll be rolling out here for a while, and then hey, just because we get off the air at 6, don't mean you ain't got to hang around. It's a good spot. They got outdoors, they've got indoors, a great spot, food, drinks, huge bar. They'll take care of you here, and come on out to hang out with us here on this Football Friday. Also, still have a chance to win an autographed helmet, game size helmet, autographed by Tank Dell, as well as $50 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So make your way on out here, Sugarland, Little Woodrow's, right near the mall, across the street from the Cheesecake Factory. Can't miss it. Come on out and hang out. I do want to get a conversation here in a bit, fellas. And you can send your thoughts in on the text line, 713-572-4610, or those of you on YouTube and Twitch. You can get your thoughts of what's the number one thing that gives you confidence in this game for the Texans, the number one thing that gives you concerns in this game for the Texans. But before we get there, I've been wanting to get with you about this week, Clint. And I think obviously as much as anybody – damn sure on the show, but maybe at the station, to understand this rust and rest factor that people are talking about. Like, if we hear the things with the Chiefs, going against the Chiefs is, hey, this pass rush they've got to worry about, and then they haven't played since Christmas. It'll be 24 days between games for some of their top guys, like Mahomes and Hell Jones. It's been longer. He missed that game too, so he hasn't played. Chris Jones hasn't played since they played the Texans, so it'll be 24 games for Travis and a lot of their top guys. What's your thought in terms of impact? Because you've done this, you set long stretches for a bowl game, right, where your season ended and then you had to go and play the Cotton Bowl, and that was probably 3 weeks to a month, if that long. What is your opinion on the factor of how much rust can factor in for the Chiefs?
Well, I think it, whether it's real or not, I think it applies to one person, and that's Pat Mahomes.
To the quarterback,
because it's just about executing and thinking and processing in a chaotic, very loud, collisions all around you, and trying to process what the hell's going on beyond there, and then throwing an accurate ball with the right arm slot, the right release point, yada, yada, yada. So that it applies to one person, and I think it's very, very real. Now I think it's something that Pat and Andy have obviously handled really well in the past, and so I don't necessarily overthink this, but I do think that there is a chance that early on, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm expecting, not that you wouldn't anyway, but I'm expecting some screens, expecting some quick something, drive starter to
rhythm,
get
rhythm.
To get Pat Mahomes comfortable with that noise around him, with those collisions going on in front of him. because I do believe it's very real. I don't care how good you are. If you, there's no way to duplicate and replicate that, especially in 2025. You damn sure could be, it was tough to do back in the day. You damn sure can't do it now. And so I do think there's a first series rust and you know, rest issue that could potentially be there with Pat Mahomes. Now, do I think it lasts more than two or three plays? Nope. The first time he gets hit, the first couple of pass attempts that he has, whether they're good or bad, I think he'll move on from that. But
you don't think it's like something – because we've heard like through the offense, like you start slow and other spots. You just think it's really the quarterback and not the
– Yeah, I think it like the other positions, you can really duplicate press coverage in practice without taking them to the ground. You can duplicate or replicate a lot of what goes on in a game to a certain extent. You just cannot. You can't recreate what goes on around a quarterback and having to make those game time decisions in that cold weather. Like it's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system, even to a guy as great as Pat Mahomes. So I do think there'll be a four or five plays out of the gate, you know, there where he's feeling a little bit of rush. Now, do we see it? Doubt it. Highly doubt it. I think Andy Reid is sharp enough, obviously, to know that, take it into consideration, and make sure he gets Pat good and comfortable early on.
All right, just numbers with this thing, Clint. When you say they've been really good at dealing with this in the past, with this team in particular, now they've not had 24 days off. They've had like 20 is the most they've had off. But they have had byes five different times in this run they've been in. 2018, they had a bye. They opened up the game against the Colts with a touchdown. They started off 14-0. The one year that they struggled was, oddly enough, against the Texans, obviously, where they came in off a bye, first three drives, nine plays, three punts. They were down 21-0 in the first quarter. But all the other years, 2020 and 20, 21, 22, where they're coming off byes, in 20, they came off very similar to this when they rested their starters in the final game. They had all opening drive touchdowns in 19-3 lead against Cleveland in 20, 14-14 against Buffalo, and then 17-10 against the Jags coming off a bye. So in the history of them dealing with the byes, now maybe it's not been 24 days, they have, with the exception against the game against the Texans in 19, they have done pretty well right off the bat.
Well, I mean, look, let's be honest about it. There's obviously a formula here, right? I mean, yes, there is some rust, but there's also a team that's healthier than everybody else because they haven't done anything since Christmas, right? There's also one of the greatest minds to ever be a coach in the NFL has had multiple weeks at this point in time to prepare for either the Texans or the Chargers, right? I mean, he knew the Chargers probably like the back of his hand. He probably spent more time on the Texans because he hadn't played them twice. They only played them once. I would take the rust factor any day of the week given the scenario, right? But it is real. But if you told me have a little bit of rust or let Andy Reid and company study everything, every move and game plan for you for 2+ weeks. I would probably deal with the rust.
All right. As I said, you can text in 713-572-4610. You can chime in on YouTube and Twitch like you guys have been throughout the day. What's the number one thing that concerns you? What's the number one thing that gives you confidence in this game for the Texans? Clint, what's the number one thing that gives you confidence in the game for the Texans?
Well, we talked about it a little earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. I just think the stats for the Texans' defense, they're too damn good to ignore. They're too damn good to think that they're not going to come to some level of fruition with the Chiefs, even though they are a better opponent. Like, it still, I think, speaks volumes for how good they really are and can be. So I think that's real. That defense gives me confidence, not only in just some of the different stats that they've been really good, but also the ability to turn the football over. Look, nobody's watched last week for the Texans. I mean, we could talk about that game six ways to Sunday, and if you go out there and have four turnovers, it changes the way the game unfolds any way you slice it. And so it's that part of the game you just can't predict.
Yeah, four turnovers, you can't account.
Yeah, you can't account for that. Nobody accounts for that in conversation, right? And so when you look at this game, I just think the Texans' defense has to set the tone. They have to be a problem for four quarters. They have to turn the football over. And if they do, the Texans got a real chance to upset and shock the world. And if they don't, it's going to be awfully tough. Because then the second part of your question, that's the part that gives me confidence. I really believe in D'Amico Ryans and what he's built here from a player perspective and a scheme perspective. I think they're elite. They're special in this league. They're top of the league in multiple, not stats, but just the people and the scheme. I think that's real, so that gives me confidence. The part that gives me concern is the C.J. Stroud offense. In fact, really, I'll just pin it on C.J. I mean, it's at the end of the day, the inconsistencies out of C.J. I believe I've been wrong some, but I believe I'm spot on with C.J. being fragile throughout the year. Hopefully, last week he gained a little bit of confidence via the defense, giving him the chance. But there's still something about this offense that's just not right. There's something about CJ that's just not right now. And it's hard to put your finger on. After watching him be so great and so convincingly great last week, this year has been such a crapshoot every damn game that just – I have no idea what offense is going to show up, brother.
Text line coming through. I'm confident in our offensive line improving enough so that CJ can sort of get a little bit of a rhythm. Very confident in the defense. I'm not as confident in our head coach that he is going to stop running the clock out for whatever from when the game first starts. We need to keep scoring touchdowns until there are zeros on the clock. Someone else said, my biggest concern is the crowd noise and communication for the offense. Someone texted in. For me, my biggest thing that I have confidence in with the Texans is I believe whatever it is that D'Amico is going to have a really good game plan or at least an adjustment to what it is that the Chiefs did in the first game, right? The Chiefs scored 27 points. Now, they were helped with two turnovers, and they turned those into 10 points. But the Chiefs scored 27 points in the first game, and honestly, they could have scored over 30. They took a slide at the end and at the 13-yard line to end the game with just under 2 minutes. So they had some level of success. I have confidence, Clint, that D'Amico will be able to change course on that, to be able to create a game plan that makes things tougher for the Chiefs at the very – now, I don't know what Andy's going to do, so that is kind of the wild card thing because I think he'll make adjustments too. But I have confidence that D'Amico's defense will at least be prepared and look better than it did the first time. I don't think we'll go and see Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter have very little impact in the game like they did the first time. And I would say my biggest concern right now when you just look at the injuries, just real talk here, is just the lack of just dudes that the Texans have. When you got Jalen Petrie on the bench, when you got Stephon Diggs, you know, out, when you got Tank Dell out, when you got Jimmy Ward out, when you got, you know, certain guys that are injured and you're down to having to bring in Wayne and having to bring up J.J. Taylor out of nowhere. And you know, you have those level of injuries, those type of dudes that are out. That's a tough thing to overcome on the road with the team history and success. It has been the –
Sorry, we lost y'all for just a second. My bad.
Oh, you got me. You got me. I'm sorry.
Got you now.
That has, you know, coming against it. All right, got us. Got, you know, you're going up against a team that has done what the Chiefs have done over the years. You just wonder if they got enough dudes to be able to stay in this thing. That's the biggest concerning thing. You can talk about coaching and everything, and like we already know that the Texans kind of probably have a struggle up front on the offensive line, and now they are lacking some of the weapons they planned on having. So that to me it would be the biggest concern with the Texans. All right, coming up as we continue live, we roll into the 5 o'clock hour. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up as we'll give you the latest from injuries, who's going to play, the designations of both teams coming up in this game. Also, we'll check in on the Rockets. They took an L last night in Sacramento, but I still don't think it's something to be a little ticked off about. Man, it's 82 of them. I still think there's some positive things to take away from that thing. And then the other game, big news coming out of the other game between the Ravens and the Bills. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, hello, Kermit the Frog here.